Psalm 57. Going to do a little switch things up today. I'll do Job this evening. This one just really stuck out. Something maybe for this morning. Psalm 57. And we'll start in verse 1. But I got to thinking about reading this psalm, and you'll notice all the mentions of David's looking up and things that are up and God's glory up above trouble and things like that. And it made me think about, you know, a couple years ago, the hurricane's coming in right now, I guess, Dorian. Got to thinking about Harvey a couple years ago and all the destruction. Man, I mean, people are still rebuilding from that. That thing was just devastating. You know, from God's perspective and in heaven, when Harvey blew through and destroyed everything it destroyed, in heaven, nothing changed. You know, God didn't get off his throne. Nothing was moved in heaven. Probably a lot more prayers were sent that way. But God wasn't, his character didn't change. His position didn't change. He didn't get any rain out of Harvey or wind. There are times when you want to see God's face in something, but other times where it's more helpful to just be under his wings. That's what David says. He gets in the cave, and we'll read it. He gets in the cave, Adullam, and he has been, up to this point in his life, he killed Goliath, but he's been manipulative in a lot of ways. He's tried to make things happen, and I know we cannot relate to any of that. We've never tried to manipulate anything and try to get ahead of God in any way. And he's gone all the way from lying to the priests, Abiathar and the men in 2 Samuel 21. He pretends he's crazy and a lunatic when he goes before the king of Gath. And he's just been trying to kind of make things work. And then he comes to the cave and realizes all his manipulation and all his attempts to make the will of God work in his life really aren't doing and accomplishing the things that he wants them to accomplish. And so he gets in the cave in Adullam, and it's not the next steps that he's trying to figure out. Lord, sometimes we're trying to figure out, what do I do now? What do I do now? What do I do now? It's more about not the next steps you need to take, but you just need to find refuge. Meaning, you don't need to go somewhere. You don't need to do something. You need to bunker down. You need to stop what you're doing and start letting God do something. Because as long as you've got your hands on the wheel, you're driving. You're the one doing this. And so David gets in this cave, and when he gets in this cave, it occurs to him that, you know, all this manipulation and me trying to make things happen really isn't working the way I thought it was going to work. And so let's just read these verses. Psalm 57, verse 1 says, "Be merciful unto me, O God, be merciful unto me, for my soul trusteth in thee. Yea, in the shadow of thy wings will I make my refuge until these calamities be overpast. I will cry unto God most high, unto God that performeth all things for me. He shall send from heaven and save me from the reproach of him that would swallow me up, Selah. God shall send forth his mercy and his truth My soul is among lions, and I lie even among them that are set on fire, even the sons of men whose teeth are spears and arrows, and their tongue a sharp sword. Here's the chorus of this song. Be thou exalted, O God, above the heavens. Let thy glory be above the earth. They have prepared a net for my steps. My soul is bowed down. They have digged a pit before me, in the midst whereof they are fallen themselves. Selah. My heart is fixed, O God. My heart is fixed. I will sing and give praise. Awake up, my glory. Awake, psaltery and harp. I myself awake early. I will praise thee, O Lord, among the people. I will sing unto thee among the nations, for thy mercy is great unto the heavens. Notice this, unto the heavens, into the clouds. Be thou exalted, shadow of thy wings, most high, send from heaven. All these references to God being above all the trouble, and David just needs to get under the wings of God and trust in God. Verse 10, for thy mercy is great unto the heavens, and thy truth unto the clouds. Be thou exalted, O God, above the heavens. Let thy glory be above all the earth. Let's pray. And I'm going to talk to you about, sometimes it's not about taking steps, but it's about taking refuge. It's not necessarily that you need to go do something, but you need to just start trusting God with some things. That's David, but let's pray first. Father, I thank you for these words. I pray that today we could get settled things that need to get settled in our lives based on what you've shown us and your promises and what you've done. Father, if there's anybody here that is not saved, they've never trusted Jesus Christ, they don't understand their sin before you, they don't understand the consequences of their sin. They just, this life is what they know, and I pray they would get a bigger perspective that this life is not, this body, this time in this body is not all there is to life. There is much more, and the sins that are done in these bodies will be paid for one way or another. Lord, I pray that would be abundantly clear. And then understand that Jesus Christ has already paid for their sin. Father, I pray that would be abundantly clear. And Lord, that they'd be broken and we'd be broken over our sin and we would be broken over our lack of trust in you and our manipulation of things and our attempts to try to make things happen and get ahead of you. And Lord, that we would understand where we've got ahead of you and just find refuge under your wings. I pray we'd do that this morning. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, so I just want to show you some things about this psalm before we get into this. Just a little introduction. You notice all the references to things being above and God being above the trouble. Where he says in verse 1, he's in the shadow of thy wings, meaning God is up above and he's under him. Verse 2, I will cry unto God most high. He's up there and I'm down here. Verse 3, he shall send from heaven. So he's up there and he's going to send something down from heaven. Verse 5, be thou exalted, O God, above the heavens. Let thy glory be above the earth. So another reference to something up high, God being above things. Verse 8, awake up, my glory. Awake, psaltery and harp, I myself will awake early. Verse 10, for thy mercy is great unto the heavens, and thy truth unto the clouds. Be thou exalted, O God, above the heavens. So all of these references to God being above the trouble and not in the trouble you're in or I'm in. He's not in that trouble. He has a different perspective on that trouble. My trouble, your trouble, does not change where God sits. It does not change the choruses in heaven. It doesn't change or alter heaven and God's palace. It doesn't change any of those things. God is above the trouble. He will intervene, and sometimes it's intervention that we need. But a lot of times I think it's not things we need to start doing as much as it is just refuge we need to take in a place he's already provided. When David goes into this cave, let me show you where this happens. But look over in 1 Samuel. Let me show you where this happens, and then I'll make some comments on these verses. In 1 Samuel chapter 22, this is where David finds refuge after, you know, he's young, he's been told he's going to be king. He just killed Goliath a couple chapters before, very popular, and also very hated. And so in his youth, he wants to make things happen. And he tries and he tries. But then in 1 Samuel 22, verse 1, he says this: David therefore departed thence and escaped to the cave of Adullam. And when his brethren and all his father's house heard it, they went down thither to him, and everyone that was in distress, everyone that was in debt, everyone that was discontented gathered themselves unto him, and he became a captain over them, and there were with him about 400 men. All right, this is the first time in David's life where men begin to gather around David and make him their leader. And he's been popular, he's been a celebrity for a little bit of time, and then he's also been hated by the king. He's been told he's going to be king. And now he's kind of past this manipulation of the situation. He gets to a cave, and now he's actually learning some leadership qualities that are really going to benefit him being king. And it's not manipulation that's going to benefit him. It's going to be trusting the Lord in some things that he needs to trust. And based on these qualities that now he's learning about and getting while he's in this cave, people start to gather around David because he's a leader. And now he's displaying some qualities of leadership. And so we'll deal with some of this in just a minute, but go back to the psalm. This is the circumstances this psalm is written in. Back over in Psalm 57, let me give you some points of application here. The truth that's being presented in Psalm 57 is David in this cave, he doesn't have another place to go. You know, I think about it in my own life, and you can probably make some illustration in your own applications. But a lot of times we're asking about, Lord, where do I go from here? What's the next step? Who do you want me to find, or what job do I need, or what is the next step I need to take? When the reality of the situation is, you don't need to take any more steps. You need to get in the cave and you take refuge now. It's not time to be directed in a path. It's time to stop walking a path and take refuge now. That's David. David is in this cave of Adullam. He has nowhere to go. He has nowhere to go for a few reasons, and I'll show them to you, but he has nowhere to go. He is now going to just trust God's promises on his life, trust that Saul is not going to find him. He is going to trust in the Lord now, and you see that in the psalm. So number one is this. Maybe it's time to stop moving. Stop moving, because there's just no place to go. You know, you can just beat your head against a wall. Lord, what do I need to do? What do I need to do? What do I need to do for my kids? What do I need to do for this? What do I need to do to get this job? What do I need to do to get this? What do I need to do to get this? And you just beat your head against the wall. And the reality is, there's nothing to do. You don't have anything to do. That's David in the cave. There's nothing he can do. He can't make the situation any better than it is. He can't improve on where he's at. There's nothing that David can actually do now to make things better or change the circumstance. He can't do anything. Sometimes you got to stop moving because there's just no place to go. David's prayer is not, guide me, Lord, or lead me. David's prayer is just, be merciful to me. I don't need to know the next step. I don't have another step to take. I am going to sit down in this cave and I am going to trust in the refuge of God. Stop moving because there's no place to go. David doesn't need a course of action. David needs confidence in God. He doesn't need to be told, go here, go here. This, if you do this, this will work out. If you do this, this will work out. We're done with all that. Now it's time to take refuge in some things God's already told you, David. You know you're going to be king. At least that you understand that's God's will. You also understand there's nothing you can do to change the circumstances you're in. Now, I don't want to make this counterintuitive and say, okay, you know, you're just the victim of your circumstances. That's not what this is. This is about David going from, Lord, guide me, lead me. No, don't guide me anymore. Don't lead me, Lord. I just trust you now. I'm just going to take some confidence from the promises you've already given me. Stop moving because there's no place to go. Sometimes it's not about taking steps, but taking refuge. You can't, maybe it's a family situation. You can't do anything else about it. That's David. He can't do anything else about this. He can try to manipulate. He can try to make something happen. He can try to dissuade Saul. He can try to do a lot of stuff. But the reality is none of that's going to help his position. His best position and place and option right now in his life is to stop taking steps and just start taking refuge. Maybe it's a family situation. You just need to give it to the Lord. Maybe it's grown children. Just give them to the Lord. I don't know. Maybe it's something with another Christian. Maybe it's finance. I don't know the particular application in your life. But I would say the truth is there. Sometimes there's nothing to do. It's time to just start trusting God on this. Stop trying to make something happen that you can't make happen anyway. You can't make them get saved. You can't make them trust God. You can't make them do what you want them to do. Your best option is let some of this go and let God start sorting this thing out. Because I think you'll find sometimes when we get ahead of God, it prevents God from actually working. I stepped in front of him and he was trying to do something and I stepped in front of him and now he's got to change his course of action because I got ahead of him. I was so eager to make this thing happen and so I jumped out there to, come on, you got to get right, you got to make it. And I can't change that. That's not something I can do. God's going to have to get a hold of his heart somehow or her heart or whatever the situation is. Sometimes it's not about you and me taking steps, David. It's just about us taking refuge. David sits in that cave. What else is he going to do? He has manipulated the priests, Abiathar. And he told him he was on a king's errand. And that's going to end up getting Abiathar and all of those men killed. Because David lied to him. He tried to make something happen that he can't make happen. And he didn't trust God in that thing. And then he went to the king of Gath and he pretended to be crazy and the king let him go. And I mean it's just not that's not God's plan here. It's just trying to make something out of nothing, and he can't. Sometimes you got to stop moving because there's just no place to go. Which leads to the second point here in verse 2. Verse 1, he says, be merciful unto me, O God, be merciful. Not guide me, O Lord. Not lead me in a different way, O Lord. You know what it is? It's just be merciful unto me. Which leads to the second verse. Stop moving so God can actually work. He says in verse 2, I will cry unto God, most high, unto God that performeth all things for me. You know, when you and I start taking the wheel from God, you know, we're driving now. We got this. And you know, somebody says, "Well, God's my co-pilot or whatever." I don't want God to be my co-pilot. He just needs to have the car, and you know, I'll just sit in the back seat. We start trying to make something out of something that we can't change, and then what it eventually does is, if anything comes out of this, it's because I made it happen and not because God had anything to do with it. I pushed the issue, and maybe somebody finally gave in and they just so they would stop hearing me push the issue. Or it's me taking hold of the wheel and God's no longer allowed to work. So here's what David says in verse 2. It's something he's learned now and something he hasn't really done until this time in his life. He says, "I will cry unto God Most High, unto God that performeth all things for me." Meaning, if God doesn't perform this thing, then whatever I'm trying to make happen isn't really a worthwhile investment, or isn't really going to pan out the way God wants it to anyway. Why? Because he's not allowed to work. I'm the one that's been making things happen. I'm the one that's been pushing it. And it's just, and again, I don't want to make this counterintuitive and say, you know, you need to just be a lazy bum. That's not the point. The point is, sometimes it's not something you need to do. It's some things you need to just trust God for. And the reason you're doing so much stuff is because you don't trust God. You're trying to make an impressive show, or you're trying to bring about something. And so what you've done is you've taken God's hands off and put your hands on. "I will cry unto God Most High, unto God that performeth all things for me." Here's a good New Testament verse for that. In Philippians he says, "Being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ." You know, that's something you can't do. You understand that you can't make God perform this work that he is. You trust Jesus Christ and you are set on a course. He gives you his Holy Spirit and he sets you on a course now. And you know, and I know, if it were up to us on that course, we'd be off the course day two, day one. We'd be gone. God performs some of this stuff, and some of these things you just need to trust God for. Jesus Christ said this, "I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me, ye can do nothing." Nothing. Whatever you're trying to make happen, whatever situation you're trying to manipulate, whatever event or cause you're trying to bring about, if God isn't in it, he defines it as nothing. Without me, Jesus Christ said, you can do nothing. Whatever you think you're doing without Jesus Christ, in God's eyes, is nothing. Now, I know David doesn't know the name Jesus Christ. He doesn't know Jesus Christ is coming. He doesn't know these things. But he's sure talking about God the same way Jesus Christ is talked about in the New Testament. Here's the point. Sometimes it's not about you taking steps. It's about you just taking refuge. Which leads to this, verses 3 and 4. Stop moving so God's help can find you. Verse 3 says, "He shall send from heaven and save me from the reproach of him that would swallow me up. Selah. God shall send forth his mercy and his truth My soul is among lions, and I lie even among them that are set on fire, even the sons of men whose teeth are spears and arrows, and their tongue a sharp sword. Stop moving so God's help can find you. David is confident at this point. When the Lord sends an answer from heaven, it will be salvation from his enemy. That's what he said in verse 3. He shall send from heaven and save me from the reproach of him that would swallow me up. There's that. Think about it in military. All these references to God being above the trouble and things like that, and David looking up. And there's just, you read some of these military battles and things like that, sometimes there's just no substitute for air support. You know, you got troops on the ground and things like that, and all the things you've heard in the news sometimes, and man, but you get some air support. That air support is like a lifeline. Bring supplies, bring ammunition, medevac people out. You know what it is? It's life. That's what David said. If you will send forth help from heaven, it will be my life. That will be my salvation. I can no longer do what I, you know, I don't have whatever abilities I thought I had, I really don't have. And Lord, if you don't send help, I don't have life. I will be swallowed up by the people around me. I'll be swallowed up by the enemy. And Lord, I'm now understanding how much dependence I have to have on you now. Sometimes we learn those lessons kind of hard in life, you know. You just get knocked down and you get knocked down. And some people, I'm going to keep going. And that's a good spirit to have. You don't want to quit or things like that. But if that takes the place of your trust in God, I'm going to do it. No, you need to let God do it. You need to let Jesus Christ do it through you. You know what that is? That brings a calm. That means if it happens this way, it happens this way. If it happens this way, it happens this way. I need to trust God in this, and I need to stop making things happen or make things happen that really I've created this life for myself. How about this? Stop moving so God's help can find you. You know that air support, if there isn't a place to drop the help, because people are moving all over the place, if you don't stop so the help can get to you, you don't get the help. Just keep moving and moving and moving and moving. No, I got to do this. 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 I got to do that. Got to get that. Go there. Do this. Do this. Do this. Hey, let God get involved. Let him help you. Stop moving so God's help can find you. That's David. He understands it. He's sitting in that cave and he's starting to understand these things. Things we may never learn. Hopefully we do, though. Here's another one. Stop moving because of the enemy. Look in verse 6. They have prepared a net for my steps. My soul is bowed down. They have digged a pit before me, into the midst whereof they are fallen themselves. Selah. My heart is fixed, O God. My heart is fixed. I will sing and give praise. Here's the situation with David. Saul knows about where David is. He kind of has an idea. But you know what? Saul is waiting for some movement. And once he hears about some movement, then he'll know where to attack. But if David doesn't move, Saul can't hunt. Understand? Some of you guys go quail hunting and bird hunting and things like that. If you go quail hunting, sometimes you can get some dogs and they'll scare up a covey, and then you know how you hunt them? When they start moving. You know what happens if they don't move? You don't see them. Sometimes you need to stay still because of the enemy. That's David. If David moves out of that cave, the enemy who is currently hunting him now has a target. You and I, man, we're gonna make things happen. I'm gonna make this happen. And just like David, I'm gonna make this happen. And you know that enemy is hunting by movement, and he's waiting for some movement. The problem is with David, there's no movement right now, and he can't hunt. He's looking, he's waiting for movement, but he can't find David because there's no movement. David's doing the right thing. Stop moving because of the enemy. You know what the world causes you and I to do a lot of times? It causes us to move when we shouldn't move. It causes us to put ourselves in a position when we don't need to be, either by fear, intimidation, pleasure, lust. It just draws you out. It forces you out. It does something to make you move so that you'll be an easier target. You know why you need to stop moving sometimes? Because of the enemy. The Bible says, "Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee, because he trusteth in thee." But you know, if your mind isn't stayed on him, if your trust isn't in him, there's no peace involved in that life. It's just constant activity with no productivity. Constant movement without any fruit. It's just activity without, again, productivity. And what you don't realize is you're being flushed out so you can be hunted. David, stop moving so the enemy can't hunt anymore. Just rest in the promises of God here. And this isn't going to be the whole rest of David's life where he stays in a cave. This is a part of David's life. So I'm not saying, okay, you need to just shut down everything you're doing and just go in a cave. This is part of David's life. And I guarantee you there's some areas in your life and my life where we need to stop moving and just start trusting God. We just stop trying to make something happen and just rest in some things God's already said. Maybe it's salvation for somebody. You never got that thing settled. And so it's just, it's constant. Well, I'm going to do this for God. I'm going to make this happen. And I think he'll weigh out my good. And I think he'll be happy with what I'm doing. Listen, forget all that. God is happy with Jesus Christ. And if you can get into Jesus Christ, he will be happy with you in Jesus Christ. He's not happy with you. He's not happy with me. He's happy with Jesus Christ. And when we get in Jesus Christ, you know what you are? You are accepted in the Beloved. You know, kids, teenagers, everybody wants to be accepted. I got to be accepted. I got to be, as long as the people I'm around accept what I'm doing, as long as I'm, you know, I just don't want to be rejected. I don't want to be isolated. And we all have that feeling. Nobody wants to be isolated and rejected. We all want to be accepted. And you have a promise from the Creator of the universe. If you will be in Jesus Christ, you are accepted. You have acceptance. Not from some person, but from God Almighty. Sometimes you just rest in some of these things. Stop moving because of the enemy. Stop moving, here's the last one, so others can find your God. When David stops going, you noticed in 1 Samuel 22, some people started flocking to David. And you know what they needed? They needed help. But they weren't going to get the help because David was on the run. They needed leadership. They needed direction. They needed some help from God, and they weren't going to get it because David was too busy manipulating things and trying to make things happen until David stopped, trusted God, stopped moving. Now other people started gathering around David, and this is the first time in David's life people volunteer to make him their leader. Sometimes it's not just about you, about other people. It's about others. Stop moving so others can find your God. Maybe that's the issue. Sometimes your movements, your haste in this life will cost you God's testimony in your life. Don't have time, I got this, I got that, I got to do this, I got to do that, I got to do this, I got to do that. Okay, now tell me about your God. Well, you know, I go to church sometimes. Okay. So what does your God do for you? Well, he saved me. Okay, that's good. We understand that. Do you know what a lost person does? What does that mean to me? How does that affect me? Oh, so your God works when you die. That's when your God works. So right now, it doesn't really matter how I live. It's okay. So why are you trying to bring me to your God? If he doesn't really make any difference until I die, you know what I'll do? I'll just wait till I die. You say, well, that's crazy. That's a lost person's thinking. I mean, someone that has some religious interest. It's hard to get any interest in anything spiritual or godly and pull people away from all the physical things they got in their life these days. Try to pry them away from that stuff and show them, hey, godliness is profitable now. Well, how is it profitable? I don't know. And then all in all of your haste and my haste, we have lost a testimony with God and with the people around us. They say, well, tell me about, you know, how's your... And I'm just making an illustration of some conversations that probably may not happen that way, but your testimony, you've lost the testimony because you've never trusted God for anything on a daily basis. And so the people around you watch you not trust God and they think, okay, well, this is your religion. As I was talking to a fellow yesterday, he came out to pick up the donkeys and the horse. And the horse, we still have the horse. But the horse is in someone else's yard right now. So they were gracious enough to take the donkeys and then run the horse over the fence and then leave. It was very nice. That was an ordeal. But anyway, I was talking to the guy that brought the trailer over, and his dad was a Methodist preacher, and he's not saved. Just went to church, and trying to explain godliness and trying to explain pastoring is tough enough, but trying to get past the religion. Because all he sees is religion. It's just religion. Like, I'm a Methodist, you're a Baptist. Just religion. We just have different ways of doing it. Trying to explain, no, you're a sinner. Jesus Christ paid for your sin, and your church attendance and your dad's being a pastor doesn't do anything. You need to trust Jesus Christ. I mean, we're all, you got yours, I got mine. No, God has his, and that's what we all need to be a part of. But it was just illustrative of the thinking of millions, and I mean in Beeville, probably thousands of people who are just religious people. Maybe even in this room, you're just religious. You don't actually trust God for anything. You just have a God that you show up to sometimes and come and participate in some way. But you never really trusted God for anything. I put it this way. What have you trusted God for? Meaning, I took my hands off the wheel and just let God do something. I finally just took my hands off and said, all right, Lord, you're going to have to do this. Or better yet, I'm done making something happen, Lord. You conduct these activities as you do this. And if I ask you and you ask me, we say, okay, what have you actually trusted God for? Well, 100 years ago I got saved. okay, is this the way you trust God, the same way you got saved 100 years ago? Just live your daily life and doing your own thing. And you know what that is? That's not trusting God at all. That's just me doing what I'm doing and calling it godliness. Sometimes you ought to have some areas in your life where you just took your hands off and you said, all right, Lord, you do this. And that way I don't have any fingerprints on it. I can't claim any credit for this. I haven't done anything to make this work. Lord, you make it work. However you want to do it, whether it's a catastrophe or whether it is productive, I don't know. You make it work. But I'm taking my hands off. You know what? That's David here in the cave. It allows God to work. Sometimes you're in a position where there's nothing else to do. You're not creating the circumstances you think you're creating. Again, it's not about taking steps sometimes. It's about taking refuge. And those that came to David, so David starts to show some leadership that's going to help him as being king, namely that he's trusting God. And then these distressed folks start coming to him. The folks that are in debt start coming to him. The folks that are discontent with the world start showing up. You know, sometimes you need to stop so other people can get what they need. Sometimes it's not just about you, not just about me. It's about somebody else getting what they need, but we're just too busy. We just got too much going on. I don't have time for other people to show them how to get the help they need. You know what David did? He stopped. He got in that cave and he said, I am done with manipulation. I am done trying to make things work. I'm going to take these hands that I've got on the wheel and I'm going to let the wheel go. And I'm going to give this vehicle to the Lord and let him drive this thing. And where we go is where we go. And how this ends up is how it ends up. But I am done making and trying to make things happen. David sits in that cave, and then the people start to trickle in, discontent with the world and debt. All those D words that you saw there, distressed. You know, maybe there's some distressed folks that need you to make time so they can hear about your God. Maybe there are some folks in debt to sin that needs you to make time to help them to Jesus Christ who paid their sin debt. You know what people don't realize? Sometimes they don't realize that they got sin, or they don't realize the sin is as critical or as important as they think it is. They also don't realize that their sin is already paid for. It's already paid for in Jesus Christ. It doesn't have to be paid for anymore. In fact, there's nothing else anyone can do to pay for it. You can't improve on what Jesus Christ has already done. Once God accepts the payment, there's nothing else to pay. There's not an outstanding debt here. And if you can actually, if we could find some sinners, if you can find a sinner, you can give them some good news. Your sin is paid for. And if you get into Jesus Christ, you trust Jesus Christ, that forgiveness, David, he said, blessed is the man whose iniquities are not imputed to him, who's forgiven, who's got those sins forgiven, taken away, paid for. So David, he starts to trust God, stops moving, so that others start to gather around him. Maybe that's the application for you. Stop moving so others can find your God. Just trying to do it all ourselves, and you know what it is? It amounts to, I just really don't trust God with this, so I'm going to have to do it myself. I just really don't trust God with what's going on, so I'm going to have to make this happen. I just really don't trust what God said about parenting, about witnessing, about being an employee. I just don't trust God with what he said about those things. So I'm just going to have to make it happen myself. And there needs to come a point in our lives where we, like David, you get to the cave of Adullam, and you say, I am done making things happen. I'm done doing it my way. Lord, I don't need any more steps to take. The reason I am in the trouble and the hubbub I'm in is because I'm not taking refuge in the provision of refuge you've already made.